that you're anticipating a time that God will allow you to come together again. And that was me. I was looking and saying, God, will you allow the surf camp? And it's finally here. I'm overwhelmed by the grace of God. Much prayer, much waiting for this moment. Because for me, it was real. So much we took for granted. And I'm not trying to get all, you know, like overly serious here. But there's moments that you really have those serious moments with God. You begin to look around and say, you know, you get used to your normal routines and everything changed in an instant for every one of us. I was sharing with a bunch of folks prior to the camp, before anything even happened, I asked the Lord every year, what is the theme? Because it's not something you just pull off the Bible and kind of point and say, there you go, you know? Well, that sounds cool. No, it was, I go in much prayer and say, Lord, what do you want to, where do you want to do? I've learned over the years, because I'm growing in grace like each of you, that take nothing for granted, and it's by the grace of God, you're able to do anything. So I pray every year and say, Lord, what's the theme? And he gave me Psalm 27. Again, no fear. And then everything kind of broke loose. And then I'm like, Lord, what are you going to do? Because again, you don't owe me anything. You've allowed me. You've blessed me. And if you say no, then okay. How many of you can really say to God, if he says no, okay? I had to grow into that. And when things began to open up and we start seeing a little light that this camp just might happen, it dawned on me at that moment. Lord, you knew. That's why he gave no fear. But that's the message he wanted to bring to you as well. Our God knew before the foundation of the world what would break out. He was never sitting going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with my church? God's sitting back, knowing what he's going to do if we look to him. God has opened a door, and he has moved heaven and earth for you. That's why we're here. I want to get that clear. Before we do anything else, I want every person in this room to understand that. God has moved heaven and earth to bring us here. Because he wants to meet with you, like when God met with Israel. He brought them out of Egypt and took them into the wilderness and brought them to Mount Sinai and say, here I am. They already knew about him. They knew of him. But he would say, I want you to know me in a much greater way. There's something more I'm going to reveal about myself. You knew me of God Almighty, but now you're going to know me as Jehovah. There's much more that God wants to do for you. And that's my prayer for each of you this week. God has, again, done amazing things. And I pray you're not too young to understand that. If anything, you can appreciate even more. God has brought you here this day, this week, and I'm praying that you will have your deep moment with God. The things in your life, whatever's going on in your life, you'll begin to take seriously concerning him. Because it's real. I'm praying that he will come and meet you and deal with your fears. I'm praying that God will meet you and begin to heal you from some of the things that have come from the results of your fears. I'm praying also that God may even meet you in some cases, what we'll look at tonight, will meet you even in your failures. A lot rises to the top in the midst of all these things, but I'm praying that you will be built up in the knowledge and in your faith, but most of all in the grace of God. Because he's to be your everything. We praise and we say he is, but the reality comes in the midst of life. Like even right now, all that's going on in the world, all that you know, we always say, I don't want my little one to see those things. You know, well, you're seeing everything now. This is the real world that God has brought you in for a purpose, and he wants you to understand one thing. I want you to understand who he is in your life. He has to be your everything. You have to be in that place in your life that you're willing to, again, like the theme says in reference to your fear, you will begin to realize what your fears are, that you will understand who he is, that you'll be able to face your fears. You know, it's funny. I really understood fears. My family and I, we were, we call the road dogs. We would go like the theme parks. We'd hit all the roller coasters. How many of you have got on roller coasters? I'm not talking to ones like at Disney or at Universal. I'm talking about the real deal. And we did that. But as time went on, I became a little fearful of the giant ones because they got bigger. Back in the day, 200, you know, feet, no big deal. Then they're 300. Now you're in the clouds with the planes. You're looking like, oh, Southwestern, number 6725. You're waving at the people in the plane, right? So the rides have gotten bigger. And one year we decided, let's go down to Virginia. So we went to Virginia, to Busch Gardens. We pull into the parking lot, and above the trees, all I saw was a little tiny hump. You couldn't really see the full ride. But in my mind, I had put a little picture note. You know, you kind of thumbtack that, beep, beep, little post-it note. I go into the park, and I say, that looks awfully big, but I don't know where it is. It's on the far side. And went through the whole park, and eventually worked our way to that section. It was called... I think Hannah remembers the name of it. Apollo's Chariot. Apollo's Chariot. Now, I'm saying to myself at that moment, my little hints of fear came in. I said, Sherry, you go with Hannah this time. And, she's a trooper. She loves them as well. And her and Hannah went on. And I'm sitting outside with Jake, and we're just hanging around. And they finally come back and they're like, yes, this is awesome. And Hannah's like, it's not that bad, Dad. Trust me, it's not that. You can handle this. So as a dad I am, I got to face my fear. I can't, get all wimpy around my daughter, right? And I'm like, I got to get on. I got to man up. So I get on the ride. We get on the ride and you get in that seat. Now, all you know that moment when you get in that seat, you're waiting for those bars to come down to kind of lock you in. You kind of hug it to make sure it's holding you, right? And it's got to be that double bar, right? I'm looking around, I'm like, I don't see a bar. So automatically, the first flag goes up. Suddenly, I hear a ting, and a little bar comes down about this long. And remember, I'm very petite, right? I'm sitting in a chair, okay? I'm sitting in a chair. I'm not sitting in a big unit. And this little tiny bar goes across my lap. Now, you know what's going on in my mind at that moment, right? I'm thinking, okay, now, how are we going to work this out? My daughter's next to me, and I'm scared. We begin to go up. And we keep going up. And keep going up and keep going up. Now, my heart's palpitating. Halfway up, Hannah looks over at me and says, Daddy, I'm like, yes, baby, I'm sorry. I'm like, sorry, for what? She says, just don't look down. But what's the first thing you do? You look down. That's all I'm going to say. We get up to the top. You think that's enough, right? They give you a little make you think about it for a minute. And then all of a sudden, you don't see nothing. You don't see the drop. All you see is clouds. And all of a sudden, it was like, whoosh, down we went. Now, I'm not going to tell you how it looked. I'm glad I don't have the picture. I didn't get the one at the end of the ride. I said, no. Okay? So, I finally got down to the end, but in the midst of all that fear, what great comfort it was to have someone next to me to get me through it. And that's what God wants to do in your life. There's things that God wants to deal with you in your life. Those fears that you may be encountering because they're going to affect your emotions. They're going to work in your life in different ways. And if you have your Bibles, please turn them to Isaiah chapter 41. I want you to understand something here. Israel was in the same place. Israel had gone through the Assyrian captivity. They're now going through the Babylonian and wondering when the exile will come. They've trusted in the nations more than trusting God. And what I've learned, whatever you trust in is what you're going to have to rely upon, even in your greatest fears. And God was still working in them. But I want you tonight, as we look at this, I want you to understand, because there's many fears in your life, there's things that you're going through, that God wants to give you the honest answer to your fears. Even in contrast to what the current conditions are around you, and you know what they are in your life, those inner concerns. You know what you're dealing with, like I was on that ride. Hannah never knew, although she could probably tell by my continence, there was a whole lot more going on inside. You see, God wants you to understand that at the end of the day, even in the midst of your fear, you can come out on the other side with great joy. Isaiah tells us something very interesting as we learn looking at the people of Israel. He says, in chapter 41, looking at verse 8, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offsprings of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Verse 10, fear not. Why? For I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I want you to understand something here tonight, as God is showing us here in the midst of these things, and I want you to pause for a moment. What is being revealed here? God will say through these chapters to Israel, again, in the midst of all those things that are going on internally, God is speaking to them through the prophet and saying to them, I want you to understand something about your fears that you've been trusting in your whole life, even against your enemies. You're worried, you're fearful, you've given in to them more than anything else. You have not trusted me, but I want you to understand one thing. I'm greater than your fears. There's seven times he'll say in this book in reference to fear not. He's saying fear not. Understand, again, the backdrop that is here, that God will reveal to them as he identifies what's really going on in them and even the cause of their fears. And God is saying that to you tonight. In the midst of all the dismal conditions around you, even in your own personal deep fears and distresses, we can put the face on. But we're going to address that because, again, fear does many things in each of us in different ways. Again, I didn't want to show my fear because I was worrying about what my daughter might think, because I'm supposed to be the strong dad. You see, a lot of those things happen in our lives, but the first thing that God does with them in the midst of dealing with their fears, as he's doing tonight with you and I, is showing you how to deal with your fears. And the first thing is re-identifying himself with you. Although tonight you may be praising and calling him Lord God and you worship him and you love him, it wasn't a matter of them not knowing God. That was never the issue here. He wanted to go deeper in their lives to truly understand and know him fully in their whole life. He reminds them something here over and over again as he's reminding us. The first thing, he reminds them of who he is. Who is he? Our God. He is ultimately the creator. He is the one that he says to them, because he knew them before all these things would take place. He reminds them that who he is, who they are, how it came to be, how it come to be in their lives, and what it meant for them. There's a lot going on there. Who God is. Who you are. How did you become that when it comes to him? And what is the outcome in those truths in your lives? He says, you're my servant. My servant. The servant that came by a divine choice. A divine choice of God towards you. That would eventually come through the seed of Abraham. He says, Abraham, my friend. And I don't know if you realize who, you know, Abraham is and all that happened, but it starts off with this whole idea of understanding the love of God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses, we'll start at 6 through 8, says this, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasure possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were so awesome, I'm really saying that you are all so much in number than any other people, that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were few. You were the least of all the people. But verse 8 puts it in its proper perspective. It's because the Lord loves you and is keeping his oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery and from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. God reminding them of who he is and what he has done and what they meant to him. He was saying to them, I love you, I have chosen you. And it's like Abraham, the covenant of grace. You look at Abraham's life, a life that came that he was pulled out from amongst his people. He was being sent forth to a place he did not know. But in that being sent, there was a whole lot that was going to go on in his life. He had to face his fear, and to those who are Bible students, started Genesis chapter 12 and followed the storyline. Right from the start, he had to face a fear, famine. What choices would come out of famine? Will I look to myself or I look to God? Go back and understand this. He didn't look to God. He trusted in himself. He got worried and he went into the place and he lied. He made a bad choice. He made multiple choices in his journey in life. Every time a fear came, if they know that you're my wife, they're going to kill me and take you. Facing a fear. Making a decision. We're not having a child God said we're going to have. I'm old as dirt. This is not going to happen. Well, Abe, what about Hagar? Fearing that he's not going to be able to accomplish what God had already called him from, but also not saying to his wife, no, babe, we ain't going there. He didn't do that. Worried about what somebody else thought. In his fears. Again, every aspect of his life, every aspect of our lives. God lays that individual before us because he wants you to understand, I actually chose him anyway. And he chose you. He chose you. Christ made that very clear as you look at John 15. You didn't choose me. I chose you. God choosing you, knowing who you are, how you are, before your fears would come. But the question is, will you look to him? Wherever you are tonight. You see, because he loved you first, right? You all know 1 John, right? We love him because he. Oh, we know that verse, don't we? Do you really know it? Because knowing is really understanding that. In spite of my fears, in spite of my failures, there's a love that never fails. God reminding. You see, I love when Peter writes about the fact that we were a chosen people set apart as a peculiar people to be a holy priesthood. I love the fact that Peter even writes that because Peter, if anybody knows failure, it's Peter. How did Peter fail? He messed up on his exam? No. He failed in fear. Did anybody remember what happened there? And it was a big one. You want to talk about messing up big time. He denied the Lord, not one time, not two times, but three times, my lady. He went and did it in his fear. But the love of God was ever near in his life, and he's in yours as well. You see, what you want to understand is that, which is very encouraging, and I want you to be encouraged tonight, that in the midst of all those things, that God's still desiring to work in your fears. There's nothing that he cannot do in your life. There's nothing that he does not want to do in your life. Are you in a state of fear right now? And if so, what does that mean for you? What are you saying in your own heart in the midst of your fears? Looking around, going on what's happening in your life, and then you're professing God and you're professing Christ. You say you believe. But in the midst of your fears, are you in that place saying it's so deep or so hard that maybe God's letting things get out of control? But also allowing yourself to allow that fear to supersede who he is. Is he superseding in your life? Because fear takes on many effects. Did you realize that? As I kind of sampled on, looking at Abraham, there's types of fear, which I spoke about, danger. Some people are just always worrying about danger. Some are really in their own fears come from insecurities. Are you insecure? Your insecurities cause you to fear so many things around you. You're worrying about how you look. Your greatest fear is how you look when you wake up and you go out. Or your fears, you know, looking at others or looking around, wondering what they're thinking about you with your peers. Are you fearing personally in their relationship? If I walk with the Lord and I hold them accountable, will they stop being my friend? If I really want to walk with Jesus, that I won't live this lifestyle anymore, will he stop liking me? Or will she stop liking me? Because I won't compromise for the Lord. You see, there's a lot of fears that can go in our lives, and it covers every area. You can worry about losing someone. They're not hearing the truth, and you know they're going the wrong way. Will you lose them forever? You see, this is what God is saying to us. When we have to be in that place, when these things are going on, are you willing to be honest with yourself? Number one, I acknowledge that I am fearful. I acknowledge and I confess openly that I am fearful, and I'm willing to address them. You see, but it first starts with me. Are you willing to go in that place in your life to realize in the midst of all these things that you will look towards God in your fear? Because a lot of times you can look towards God and put the Christian look on. I'm in church, raise my hand, praise the Lord. I'm going to youth group. Open my Bible in front of people all the time. But all the while, there's something more going on in your heart. And God is saying to you, whatever that's going on in your heart is superseding me. You're not really turning towards me. You're turning away from me in your fears because those other things are taking precedence over my love and my purpose for your life. The fear is winning. You see, there's an interesting thing. It's called, you know, you ever heard the old saying, fight or flight? You fight through your fears or you run from them, right? But it's interesting. In the midst of either side of that, you can find your own weaknesses and also fall into your own failures. What direction are you running? How's that fear affecting your life? You can spend much time and great anxiety over all the things that are going on around you, the issues, and never seek God. Are you sitting in much anxiety on your own? You know what you reason out in your own heart and your fears. What anxieties are overloading your heart right now? Is it doubt? Or are you at a place that you've gone so far into fear, you're angry over it now? You don't realize that can happen. You see, you can start off at a place where you're fearful and you can fight or flight, but you're running in another direction. And when you run in the other direction because you're frustrated and you're angry, you knew in the midst of your fears, you failed. And you're not running towards God, you're running away from God. You're saying, I'm not, I believe in God, but in your heart, you're actually slowly just working your way away from God because your emotions and all the things that are going on, your circumstances are literally choking out the truth. It's slowly choking out. And it begins to work in you. And you suddenly find yourself in a place where you're now drifting away. And it may not be for all of you. Again, take your portion of fear and how it's working in you. But for some of you, your fear has caused you to drift away in a place that you're like, I don't know what happened. I no longer open up my Bible other than youth group. Other than on Sunday morning when a pastor says, turn to such and such. I'm talking about your own time when you first realized who God was and you opened up the Word and you were so amazed by His grace. He was forgiving you and loving you. You realized you had purpose. And when you looked in the mirror, you thought you were pretty. But still, now you think you're ugly. You thought that everything was important, was done, and you could finally walk and feel with pride and happiness. And now you're like, I'm miserable. You see, you lost sight of those things. Because of the fears in your life. You're in this place now where no longer where you can read your Bible or be around anyone who's actually walking in the light. Because you don't think you're worthy any longer. And you see your attitude changing. People bring it to your attention. Hey, you okay? I'm all right. You're constantly angry. You got no patience. Your attitude is bad. You're unreasonable to be around. I know you're like, I'm a wonderful person. No, you know that you're just miserable and irritable. Because it took you to that place where, again, your emotions began to work into overdrive. And God's trying to bring to your attention these many fears have had a great effect in your life, and you need to face them. And face them does not mean because I'm afraid of heights, I go grab a ladder and say, let me see if I can touch that star. Facing my fear doesn't mean let me go pick up that spider. Facing my fear does not mean let me go pet a snake. Facing your fears does not mean you go to your enemy. Facing your fear does not mean that you often to say, I'm willing at this point to say, I'm willing to forgive someone what they've done to me. Facing your fear is not saying, I'm willing to say that I'm sorry. Every one of those things can be true, but you know how you face your fears? In the presence of God. You and Him having that moment together. Being honest with yourself, being true to Him. You see, because again, Abraham got off course. How? In fear. Isaac, his own son, got off course. How? In fear. Jacob got off course. How? You know the story of Jacob. He was fearing his brother. But God, in his fears and even his going off course, God met with Jacob. And God dealt with those things. You see, you learn all through the scriptures that God deals with our fears and meets us in our fears. And as we humbly come before Him, whether you're in a place right now where, again, by true depiction, you're wrestling with God and you got to tap out. You finally face your fear of your own self because you've been working within yourself. You see, you may have gotten off course. You may have found yourself right now. Again, you've gotten off course. You come to church. You got a Bible. You profess Christ. But your life is totally off course. And God is saying, are you willing to acknowledge that? It was because that fear that you chose over me made you take the course you're on now. It wasn't the course I had for you. I want you to come into my will, my love, and my purposes. You may be in a place right now where you're really confused. And only God can bring clarity. You're in a place right now where you're finding yourself dry. It's kind of like today. We're in that sun, man. I'm just like a prune right now. I couldn't get a bottle of water fast enough, and I got two. The big ones. They didn't come in 55-gallon drums I could wheel out with me, but I took the water because I was that thirsty. I was dry. I needed water. It's like this psalmist when David says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. In the midst of that, he says, he leads me by still waters. You need a drink of the Lord. You need to be refreshed. You need to be washed. You know, because you can be on either side. You may be dry, but you also may have failed, and you need to be washed in that water. And God wants to wash you. Why? Because he's a good shepherd. As sheep, we wander. You all heard, we all wander, right? Great analogies there for us to realize the realities of who we are as individuals. We can wander. We can get dirty. We can get off course. We can go astray. We can get all kinds of dirt all in. We got to get washed. We got to carry it back. We need to be drinking of the true water. You see, that's the only way that you're going to be able to get in that place where you'll be brought out of afar off and brought near, back into fellowship first with God. And then back in fellowship with those who truly are walking with God, that will build you up and carry you through. You see, that's what fear happens in our lives. Where God says, I want to get you back to that place with me, but you first must be willing. You have to be in that place where you're broken and empty. You may have thought it was a bad place, but God goes, no, like Jacob, I got to get you alone. I need you to be empty of yourself. When you're broken, you need fixing. When you're lonely, you need legitimate company. And when you're empty, you need to be filled. You see, when you empty yourself, then you begin to realize that I'm not able to do anything. It's only God. You see, and God wants to do that in your life. He wants to deal with your fears, but he also wants to deal with your failures. He wants to deal with your doubts. He wants to remind you of his love and his grace. You see, you understand what God is doing here. He's saying in his love and his grace that he cares for you. That he, and he says even in this chapter, looking back at Isaiah 41, notice what he says. He says, for who took you off out from the ends of the earth, and I called you from the furthest corner, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you, and I have not cast you off. I have not cast you off, even in your faults. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You see, it's in the midst of those things. You know, he says to Jacob, he calls it, goes right to Jacob. Jacob, I want you to remember this. That I remember I called you and I brought you near even in your faults and in your fears. That's how I was able to get you to the place where you began to look to me and not in yourself. He's saying to you that I ultimately was my covenant through Abraham. The covenant of grace. There's nothing that you could ever earn. The grace of God in your life. That God's saying to you that he will never break that covenant. Although we do, he will never break that. And that's why he says, you're my servant. I knew you before you would do what you've done. I was not surprised, but I wanted you to understand one thing. You must rely upon me. You are mine. I chose you. And you're still mine. Notice he says here, and please, if you ever highlight that one part. He says, I have not cast you off. I have not cast you off. I have not deserted you. I have not forsaken you. Even though sometimes in your life there was a good reason to do so. But God says, no. I made a covenant. I called you. I brought you to myself. You know me. But the problem is I need you to know me deeper. I need you to trust me in your fears. Because I'll never break my covenant with you because I can't deny myself. Everything that I have done is irrevocable. And that needs to be your strength right now. That you fear not because you realize God is with you. I want you to make note in verse 10 when he says that, you know, fear not, I am with you. So again, be not dismayed. That means do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. Do not be apprehensive about anything or situations in your life. Do not be apprehensive at all. That's what he means about don't be dismayed. We can look around, we can go through things, and we automatically dismay. Why? Because we're looking at it from our perspective. We're trusting in ourselves. You see, anything that may lead you astray, God is saying to you, turn to me. Why? Because I am your God. Is God your God tonight? Is he really your God? He said, because when you begin to realize who I am and what I've done for you and brought you to myself and my faithfulness in your life, and again, willing to be there in the midst of your deepest fears, even when it comes to situations, are you looking to the situation or are you looking to me? Are you looking to the person or are you looking to me? Or are you looking at yourself or are you looking at me? It's in your fears that God meets you. God is saying, in all those things, I am here for you. You're not to fear. I will be with you. I will strengthen you. To strengthen you is to help you to grow strong, to make you strong, that you can deal with all the dangers and the fear in your life. Like when I was riding that roller coaster, although I was scared to death, Daddy, what? Don't look down. But Daddy, the comfort of that voice next to me. Your daddy is saying to you, daughter, son, don't look down, look up. Don't stare in the mirror, stare at my word. You see, because you're mine. And no matter if you have that moment where you lapse and you lose strength, he says, I'll strengthen you. I'm going to grow you in that strength to help you deal with that whatever that issue is in your life, that you won't even flinch. It's really what it says, is you won't even flinch. I mean, like I said, you flinch. You ever get scared? Oh, you flinch. Is that you're so strong? You just don't flinch. Why? Because it's like, no. I have to worry. I don't have to fear. It's not me. I don't have to worry about people think. I have the Lord. I know who I am because of who he is in me. That's where you have to be in your life, that you will begin to have a place where you won't give up, but you will look up. You realize your help is near, and he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That means, again, I'm going to maintain, I'm going to do. How? By his right. I love that. His righteous right hand. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 63. And it's a beautiful reminder here of that very truth. Psalm 63, looking at verse 1. And I want you to prayerfully think about this during this week as God begins to speak to your heart through all the things that God's going to be speaking to you all about, through all the chapels, through all the breakouts, through all your time with your devotion. I want you to remember these truths. Look what it says in Psalm 63. It says, oh God, you are my God, right? How does he seek him? Early and earnestly I seek you. My soul does what? Thirst. I'm thirsty. I'm dry. Why? For who? For the world? For friends? No. For who? For God. For you, right? Look what he says here. I'm thirsty. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Why? Because your steadfast love is what? Better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you. How and when? As everybody. As long as I live, in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as the fat and the rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lift. When, again, remember, when I remember you upon when? My bed. I'm meditating upon you. I meditate on you in the watch and in the night. For you have been what to me? My help in the what? In the shadow of your wings, I will sing joy. Verse 8, everybody together. My soul clings to you how your right hand upholds me. You're cleaving to God. You see, God wants to bring you to that place where you cleave to Him and Him alone. You will cleave to Him and Him alone. There's nothing to fear. Wherever that fear is in your life, you can't allow that fear to supersede the love of God. There's no human being that ever can love you as much as God. There's no one that will ever take care of you like a loving God. There's no one that's ever going to treat you or cherish you the way you deserve other than the love of God. Who you are is not because of who you or you think you are or other people may say you are. It's who God has made you. Don't allow your fear of other people's thoughts of you. Don't look at a mirror and let that define you. Let the love of God keep you and encourage you and uphold you with His righteous hand. I pray you will get that the rest of the week, that you'll be honest with yourself and you'll face your fear with God. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can face our fears, God. Your beautiful, loving hand upholds us. You have called us, Father, from the furthest parts of the earth. We didn't deserve it. You chose us. You're faithful to us, God. Even when we're faithless, God, You are faithful. You don't deny Yourself, God, but we deny You too often. And I pray wherever anyone is tonight, God, that whatever that fear has drifted them off in the wrong direction, or again, maybe just going into a dry place, that they will come to the well and drink of Your living water, God. If they have gone off course, God, that they would meet with You and You would wash them. You said that, God, if anyone comes and confesses their sins, that You are faithful to cleanse them from all unrighteousness, God. You are faithful. May they be willing to come and face their fears with You this week, realizing that You have brought them here to remind them of who You are and who they are, or who they can be if they don't know You. If they don't know You, they may have professed You or had an idea about You, but now they're hearing of who You are, that they will be willing to take what You have chosen, Your original servant, is truly Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for their sins, to be brought into that covenant that was foretold through Abraham. It was fulfilled. And may they come to that saving knowledge through this week, God. But if they do know You, Lord, may they grow in grace. And may they be restored like Israel. May they be renewed in Your presence. And may You bless them beyond measure. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us, Lord. We praise You and love You in Jesus' name. Amen.